Approval of the minutes as read of the meeting of June 17th.
I'll move.
June 19th, 2017. So moved.
I'll second.
Second. Any questions, comments?
They were good.
Approved. Resolutions for July 18th. Resolution 294 would be adopting a proposed local law number 4 for 217, the local law to provide for the collection of village real property taxes.
I'll move it.
So moved by legislator Carl Belfiglio. Discussion. It's been around for quite a while.
One second.
I'll second it.
You can't talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. And seconded by Rich.
This is village taxes?
Village taxes.
Yep.
I believe it's the right thing to do. You know, I've explained it a number of times. If there's a dwelling that's stressed, the county makes up the school taxes, the county makes up their land taxes, their town taxes, just not their village taxes. And Carl, did Carl get, or Richie get the thing from the auditor's report this year that says they're under great stress?
Yes, this
one. And that would probably have corrected it had they had assistance in collecting
fiscal
it.
Fiscal score, 57.1%. Yonkers, 60%.
If you notice the color thing we had, we did surveys a few years ago with 5 towns. They wound up taking in 37, I think, percent more money than was actually owed. They did quite well.
Analysis of sampling 5 towns, Ulster County, 2008-12, provided the following results. Parcels on auction block, 78. Parcels sold, 57. Parcels sold at private sale, 7. Parcels that did not sell, 14. Make their villages home. Only 6 counties did not, excluding New York City.
And I explain why some of those 6 counties don't, Carl. Mm-hmm. Like Westchester County doesn't. In Westchester County, the towns make the county hall. Uh-huh. The villages make the same in Long Island. The villages make the county hall. Ulster County doesn't. Sullivan and Delaware have some convoluted way that they do it. It's in Delaware County, they don't even think about it. Hello.
Hi,
Jim. Manager Joe, we're talking about Resolution 294, proposed law to provide for the collection of the village taxes in the 3 villages in Ulster County.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Did you sign this, Rich?
Excuse me, back. I'm going to move down a bit so I can hear better. Thank you.
So, Anna Jo?
Well, you know I have mixed feelings about this. But in general, I'm very supportive. What I just really want to understand is whether there's a situation where work that should be being done by the town is not being done. And, you know, that has come up numerous times. Or the village, not the town. And so that it. You know, that's really what I'd like to understand, but in terms of the idea of, you know, the basis of this resolution, I am in support of. So,
if I might, there's almost no way to answer that other than this. Talk to Joe Steckler, talk to the mayor.
Yeah.
Talk to Mary Sheely.
Yeah.
You know, there was an accusation made 4 years ago, 6 years ago, that the treasurer doesn't do their job. And they
made
just
a
said,
month ago.
And again, I didn't hear it again. But they said it's a lot more complicated than that. We don't have the resources to follow up on it.
Yeah.
And the county makes whole on a particular dwelling. The
right.
town taxes, the county taxes, and the school taxes, but not the village taxes.
Okay.
And it's not like there's thousands of properties where they're not paying their village taxes, but they're paying everything else. They're all generally stressed from one end to the other. So,
and it's
4 years ago, I guess it was promised that this would all be straightened out. And
it's doubled in 4 years.
The auditor just came out, the state controller came out with a report that says they're stressed. They're stressed.
Yeah.
They need some other revenue. Rich, are you going to say something?
No, I'm just going to say if the village is dissolved, we're going to be doing this work anyway.
Yeah.
Because another issue I have, I have mixed feelings, but the village residents pay county taxes just like town residents do. So they're paying county taxes and they're not getting the same services as the county residents. So, you know, people that live in the village don't just pay village taxes and school taxes. They pay village taxes, county taxes, and school taxes. So if they're paying county taxes, why don't they get the service?
And income tax. Sales tax. Yeah.
Well, sales, right.
Yeah.
But that's my issue. It's getting worse. And Ellenville, we all know, is a high-needs area. And if this problem doesn't get fixed, they're never going to climb out of the hole. So we have to decide, as a legislature, if we want to get them to where they need to be whole and moving forward, it's not an issue, or we're just have them.
Well, I certainly think we should pass it out of committee. I have no concern about that. And it'll come up again in each of the caucuses. And Carl, did you have any take on this one way or the other?
No, I'm a yes.
Yeah.
Well, can we move the question?
Yeah.
So move. Rich, second. Carl,
aye.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Aye. Okay. On the resolution to require the paying of a living wage to employees of contractors and subcontractors that provide services to the County of Ulster. Amending the second resolve, what I'd like to do is amend the second resolve to include all providers per discussion at one of the caucuses. In other words, we're not really ever sure who was a non-for-profit and who was a for-profit, and why shouldn't they all have the opportunity to appeal the difficult tasks they will have to try to meet this. And it's to be phased in over a three-year period. Municipalities weren't specifically mentioned, although I've always considered them non-for-profits, but so this, for instance, the only call I got against it, was just to bring up the idea that there are some issues that are pass-throughs, where the town then hires lifeguards or somebody, and if they're sent $12 an hour or $10 an hour, that's all they can pay. So, you know, I think we've sent out a bunch of information as to what a living wage would be in this county for one person, two people, three, and so on, and what a living wage requirement would be in our surrounding counties of what, Delaware, Orange, Dutchess, and I don't know if I put Greene County in there or not. So I'd certainly like to open it up for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second? Yes, seconded.
I'll second it.
I have reservations about this, but I'm going to tip the scale on both sides. Okay? The county, most of the reason why the county does contracts is to save money. We don't have to pay New York State retirement, we have to pay health insurance, you know, we don't have to pay, quote, a living wage. So we hire a contract agency to do the work for us, and the one I'm going to think about is most of our social services are contracted by a very big organization, which pays their employees peanuts. But that's how we get to do, that's how the county is doing business. We're taking away the personnel staff at a high rate of pay and contracting it out to a not-for-profit for a lower rate of pay. No benefits, no retirement. Is that right? No, because what we're doing is we're kind of encouraging substandard wages in the field. On the other hand, I'm going to give you my conservative tip of the scale is we have no business telling our contract agencies how much they pay their employees. Outside of the social services agency that handles the county, I can't think of any other contractor that pays less than $15 an hour that you know, comes to mind, except for if you're going to hire a contract for lifeguards or whatever.
Well,
so,
and a lot of those laws, like the public works projects and the prevailing wage laws, are state laws. So we have to do it. You know, we have to do it.
No, absolutely. So I'm torn between because a lot of the contracts that we have for social services used to be in-house.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And actually, mental health services also. And I don't know exactly what wages these people are being paid at, but I've been told many times by people who've worked for these agencies that they don't pay much.
They're not paid much, and they don't get the job security or the benefits for,
right.
Now, for their efforts.
I do know not-for-profits are stressed. To give you an example, Community Action. They have teachers in their early Head Start and their Head Start programs that only make $12 to $15 an hour. And they've got teacher certificates, and they can't pay any more than that. So if we do, would this law pertain to, like, Community Action? Because we give them money. And I don't know if that's necessarily a contract to do services. I'm not sure if we actually contract an agency like that to do anything.
You mean, or just donate money to them? There's got to be something.
Well, we don't donate. We give them money. I mean, look, they get the CSBG block grant every year. That's the federal money. And we always give them something. I think last year there was a resolution to give them $5,000 more. Maybe we give them $20,000. We fund them $20,000. So I don't know if they have to sign a contract to collect those funds, but would that pertain to this?
My answer is I think so, but they do have the opportunity to come back to the legislature for a waiver that they can't meet it and explain why, and the legislature would have the authority to offer them a waiver.
Right, because we had this discussion. I'm a board member. I'm a legislative appointment for Community Action, and when there was discussion of $15 minimum wage, you know, the board really was shocked because we pay the staff there a lot less than $15 an hour because that's all we can. There's very few people making more than $15 an hour in an agency like that.
And they get their income from where?
Mostly not from the CSBG block grant.
Okay.
Federal. There's a couple of there's the early start program. They've got the food pantry. They've got weatherization program. I'd like to look at how it's going to affect some of these, you know. I mean, look, most of the contract agencies that are the big players are not-for-profit. I'll give you, you know, family, Hudson Valley Mental Health Services, Astor Home. Well, I don't know if Astor Home's not-for-profit, but... So that's going to affect them, obviously. Obviously, I'd like to see people make a living wage, but you'd be surprised at how many people don't. And tied to the not-for-profits, it's a sticky wicket.
Well, they all struggle. Everybody's struggling. Nobody wants to raise taxes. You don't want to be crass and say There's an awful lot of people doing very well around here, and maybe it's time with full employment or potentially full employment to make sure these good folks earn a wage so they then can afford to buy their health insurance. They can afford housing, right? Either public housing or private housing. They can afford to borrow the money to build or buy a house.
Afford to put food on the table.
Huh?
Afford to put food on the table.
You know what? I'd love to, over and above everything else, I'd like to move it forward just to see, listen to the debate. If you ask me how much is this going to cost, I don't have the slightest idea.
Well, it's not going to cost the county. It's not going to cost the county anything. It's going to cost the not-for-profit.
Well,
or the contractors.
And over a 3-year period, they may be able to then say, here's what we have to do each of the 3 years, or we just can't make this.
Right.
We have to cut back services. And to be, you know, I think of what one guy hollered at me when he heard about it one day. And he was talking about how much this would mean. And I said, you mean when a good member of your family was up there and there were people waving their ass every day, you don't think they were entitled to make $15 an hour? He got mad at me, but he didn't answer me.
He was shocked at your choice of words.
Well, I know him a long time.
Okay.
I didn't cuss at him, Carl. I just asked it in my own inimical way. Yes, ma'am.
Want to understand why you changed, or whoever suggested the change of not-for-profit into any provider. What I want to be sure is, if this does pass, that there's not such a big loophole that...
We changed that because the comments were made, municipalities not specifically mentioned. We changed it because we don't necessarily know if Gateway is a non-for-profit or a for-profit. We don't know those things, and the loophole, what I think is a pretty important thing is if the legislature somewhere down the road thought this was a good policy, they then are holding the cards that say if somebody can't make it, can't afford to do it, they want to make their case over a 3-year period, they come back to the legislature and say, we need a waiver on this. So that's the reason that was changed, so we didn't go down the road and find some very important service can't even apply for the waiver if they can't afford it.
Legislator Bartels said sole providers, I think, at caucus.
Yeah.
I think single source, is that the other one that she mentioned at caucus, and wanted to make sure that they had an opportunity to apply for exemption, and that some of the single source might not necessarily be it. Not-for-profit.
But I think Carl, quite frankly, enunciated very well the dilemma. We don't want to raise taxes. We don't want to force people what to do. And yet at the same time, these good people are doing a service that we used to do, but outsourced it to save money, which they lost pensions, possibly, if they worked for the county. They lost a certain amount of dignity, I suppose. And so that's where we're going with this.
Yeah, we can't do much about, you know, the fact that these have been outsourced, but I'm just concerned that not so much in the municipal realm or the not-for-profit, and municipalities are struggling and not-for-profits are struggling. Not that businesses aren't struggling, but businesses have a choice of paying their executives very handsomely at the expense of not paying the working people that are directly providing the services. And
I know not-for-profits are doing the same thing.
But I can't identify them personally.
You think they're just in the private sector?
I don't know any of us that can identify everything. So we need a little bit of wiggle room.
So basically, I just don't want to see any opportunity for somebody's friend to want an exemption.
Well, the legislature would have to prove it.
the whole...
It can't be just one person,
they,
right?
They'd have to have a good enough reason that the whole legislature...
Hey, you know what, man? Well, how would the legislature approve it? If this is a policy, right? This is a policy. So we set the policy. County executive actually does the policy. So I don't think...
He enforces it.
Yeah, I don't think that we would... If a company came to do a waiver, I think that would be their purview, not ours.
Well, it says that...
Well, not according to this. I think it should rest with the legislature.
$15 an hour unless there's a waiver.
Right, and the legislature would grant the waiver.
Well, where does it say that?
It does. It's the second resolved. Oh, no, the third resolved. Yeah, the resolved right in the middle. Unless there's one on the previous page. No. Okay.
Resolve
that an exemption to this resolution may be granted with prior legislative approval.
And I think that sort of retains a little bit of authority for the legislature. Well, while we're all thinking about it, I do need a motion just to change those words.
So moved.
No matter where we go after that. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, nay, carried. Okay. So, I guess this goes, if we pass, it goes to laws and rules, correct? Mm-hmm. Goes right to ways and means. Mm-hmm. You get two votes on it.
Government efficiency and ways and means.
And then the full legislature. And then the full legislature.
Yes. Yes. And I think there'll be a good, healthy debate on it, that's for sure, if it gets that far.
And they can refer back if they...
They want it to die?
Up,
yes.
Coming up for debate tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's going to be
but I mean,
or not.
You know, you could put it off if you felt there wasn't enough. I mean, listen, yeah. I'm not... The good legislation doesn't have to happen overnight.
Right.
And bad legislation, you don't want to happen overnight. Do you know what I mean, Carl?
No, absolutely.
I mean,
I don't see this costing the county money, so I don't even know why it's going to ways and means, just because it has money in it. We're setting a policy on...
I would love it not to go there, but this is the
I mean, I'm
the direction that I was...
I'm kind of torn between... We have no business telling contractors what to do, but we're in this situation because we want to save money, and we downsized our departments, and we contracted, and we knew damn well that these, you know, we were going to save money, and we didn't care about the worker.
Right.
And, you know, we do tell contractors they have to carve insurance, they have to do certain things.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, what's your pleasure? Would you like to move it to ways and means?
Well, there's a motion, right?
Pardon?
I think there's a motion.
We didn't get that far.
I thought we don't discuss it without a motion.
You did a motion to discuss and then
we did a
motion
to
amend.
To change the wording, Rich.
Standing by for a motion to adopt.
Yeah, I'll move it to adopt so we bring it to a vote.
Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot by seconding it.
Why would you
if you're not ready to...
I'm not. I mean, there's already been a motion. I would like to make a motion to postpone it.
If it's postponed, it won't get discussed, but it can be discussed in caucus again. I don't want to have it drag out, but I...
Well, to be honest with you, I'd like to... Get a listing of the contract agencies and ask
and
them what they pay their employees.
There's a lot. There's a lot of.
Well, see how
look
it would
at the
affect
ones.
Them.
Let's look at the, you know.
You know, the jail services. I mean, look at all this. There's just, there's a lot of, which is.
Well, the other thing we could do is ask.
Oh, yeah, the
food
service.
Sure.
The jail.
A lot of services. Laundry services.
We could ask Bert to do analysis of.
They're not going to do all that. We have to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, sometimes.
Our financial person. To do an analysis of what the cost to the county would be. You know, obviously the financial impact is TBD, but I wonder if they could, I don't know, if they have, and I don't know how many contract services there are, but if they have that information, if they could estimate it. The thing is, it's, I think we all agree, it's the right thing to do. It's a question of, you know, what's the impact going to be on those contractors.
Well, the other question I have, too, is when would this take effect if it did pass? Because we already have contracts.
It's a 3-year phase-in.
Because we already have contracts. You can't change the contract.
No,
no.
You can't.
So,
it's phased-in over
contract amendments?
2 or 3 years.
Maybe there should be a stipulation about contract amendments.
Well, that's
you really
tough,
have
though.
To spell it out. Well, I mean, so let's say after 3 years, we always have this ongoing thing with IBM, and they signed a 3-year contract, or a 2-year contract 10 years ago, and we amended it every year, or twice a year, 3 times a year, to continue the services and increase the money. Can you say, wait a minute now, we need $15 an hour, your employees need $15 an hour?
It's not all the employees at IBM.
No, I understand.
It's the ones that are doing business with you.
I'm just giving you an example
yes.
of a long contract that keeps
well,
getting
yes.
amended.
Yeah. I think you enunciated all the right reasons to do this. I don't want to push it. I would ask Rich to postpone
it. I don't have the
but I would like to do it next time to move it forward to a committee.
How many people.
All right, I'll second the postponement.
You want to do that?
I do.
And then next month we'll vote on it.
Postpone it till he sees
either yes or what's that?
So I don't have to look at it. No.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, so is all right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll
Thank
do
you.
What we got to do. We'll think about it. We'll, and then we'll get it to the Ways and Means and have a good, healthy debate on it. And
yeah,
there's so many, you know, this is not Congress. There's so many things that we cannot answer. And yet, so this was sort of, quite frankly, modeled a little bit about around the EPA, how they do things. They say we're going to, you know, we're going to have clean water, and you got 6 years or 8 years to get your standards developed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then you move forward. And if somebody says, I can't clean up my farm pond that quickly, they make decisions. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Okay.
I took it. Sorry.
Okay.
Where's the part about phasing in? I just want to... I'm not finding
it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, old business. Resolution 411 of 2002, authorizing establishment of county housing consortium. Vicki is working with Dennis Doyle and planning to ensure that the operation of the continuum of care and the federal funding they manage is not compromised by amending or restricting this legislation or rescinding this legislation. So we have to know that. So we're working on that. Resolution 319 of 2011, the policy is establishing a policy with regard to project labor agreements. We're contracting the trade labor unions to talk about what sort of construction apprentice agreements should be included, and in the legislation, that's for over $500,000, and we listened to the county purchasing director last time, and he was not opposed to PLAs. He just thought that $1 million was
way too low.
Too
low, yeah.
So we'll come up with something for the next meeting, okay?
Right.
Is that okay?
Well, can we look at what other counties do? Do they have policies? Where they
you know what? Maybe you could remind me of that. Nobody does? Nobody does, according to Jay. According to Jay.
John, I did talk to some of the labor folks, and there are a couple people, and I don't have my notes with me, that specialize in PLAs. And I'd like to bring somebody, if we're going to discuss this again, you know, next time.
Amen.
I'd like to bring the person who, you know, I talked to Hudson Valley Area Labor Federation and a couple others, and everyone said you got to talk to this one person. And I'm sorry, I forgot to bring that.
I don't know the name. I spoke to a couple of them.
Okay.
Some of them have said, you know, much, like the purchasing director did say, when you have multiple contracts, they're a lot more important than if you have a $5 million or $10 million program to pave roads, 9W.
Yeah, that's more complicated.
So, you know, they don't want to have them abandoned, but they recognize that the amounts have to increase.
Well, I'd be surprised if the unions agree with that. I mean, I heard Mark Rogers say that, but...
Well, you know, the one guy I spoke to when I was looking to, like, you know, the rail trail, it's going to be, what, $10, $15, $20 million? Yeah. And they were going, yeah, but it's so compartmentalized, and how would we do one whole PLA when it might not be funded or voted on for 4 or 5 more years, or 2 or 3 more years. So they themselves were not myopic
what
they wanted.
There hasn't been a PLA in the county in 15 years at $1 million, so if you raise it, maybe you'll have an opportunity to get more of them.
Possible.
Because they're not.
Okay. The last thing on the agenda, on our agenda, new business, I want to invite the EMS coordinator. If you remember a couple of years ago, and an update on that newly created position and what's going on. What's going on with it?
What newly created position?
We created, there was always, you know, like the, what is it, the fire coordinator. This is an EMS coordinator.
Yeah.
We created it about 4 years ago or 3 years ago, appointed by the executive. And it was Rick Mukalehi.
Okay.
Who is supposed to be working with the EMS people. We had a nice hearing up in Boyceville where I brought some folks down from the Adirondacks. Almost all the EMSs are stressed. They have no members. The volunteerism and the work it takes is absurd. Nobody wants to pay for it. They can't afford to pay an ambulance to come out and do it. And these folks from where? North Creek, were they? Jay?
Johnstown.
It's either Northville or something. They came down to the inn and gave a talk. We had a lot of folks there from the different rescue squads. And out of it, the one community that had nobody answering the calls. Sometimes there'd be 2-3 calls and somebody come out of town. The town of Olive. They were all there. They voted to have full-time EMS, full-time ambulance service, paid. They braved the tax cap, you know, the 2.5% or whatever it was, and it's working wonderful for them right now. The residents are, if they do get sick, they're happier than when they had to wait 35 minutes for somebody to show up in town. One group that was there, their analysis of when it was over was, well, you know, we don't really have any money problems. We just don't have anybody to drive. Well, that's a problem then, right? That's a problem.
Okay. Right.
And a lot of them are stressed to some degree. We did even have the folks from the paid ambulances there, weren't they? And they were very supportive of working together. You heard what happened in Shandaken, or maybe you didn't. Shandaken, kind of a visionary, if you go back far enough, has had a paid squad for as long as we've lived in Boyceville, Rich. And what they did was, even a guy like Paul Van Blarkum, he was on the squad, and they'd pay him $5 or $10 or $20 to be on call all night. And worked wonderful till they got audited by the Labor Department. They said, you can't just give him $5. He's on duty. Mm-hmm. And they wound up owing $90,000 or $100,000 for the back services. So I'm going to invite them in, find out if anything's happening. And I'll say, honestly, I haven't heard of anybody else discussing this since that time. And I know they're still having problems.
I just have some news in that regard that I just discovered this weekend. I was talking to some folks from Dutchess, and Dutchess is creating an association that they think ultimately will be an authority of all their EMSs. They're at least promoting this. They're meeting to start a because they have the same thing, where if one town, you know, there are places in Dutchess County you can live where you don't get any services at all. Because exactly what you said, there's no one on duty. They don't have enough people for coverage. But if they could do a form of shared services, this isn't municipal shared services, these are EMS, you know, nonprofits. But they think that's a good way to solve the problem. So I think it's very timely because it's a very similar problem is being discussed in Dutchess County.
And you know what? That was part of this whole discussion.
Yeah.
Because they do have the EMS groups, their oversight, the authority, ability, or whatever word you want to use to say you're not doing your job. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you're either going to be taken offline, or I forget exactly what it is. But who wants to do that? Two volunteers, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It becomes a double-edged sword. You let it go, and you cover each other. And so anyway, we're going to try to get him here, find out what's going on, find out the status of that. Manager Joe, if you were chatting, get us this guy's name and number, and we'll give him a buzz.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
See
yeah.
what they have to say.
I'll
with
find
that,
out who's chairing.
For the good of the order. Our young friend from the auditor's office, from the controller's office, is here, and we'd like to give you the floor if, in fact, you'd like it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The controller's office has initiated a review of the ACE division within the Department of Finance, and I offer this info to you all as the committee that oversees and helps set policy for that office. So with that being said, if you have any interest or any 2 cents that you'd like to share as we engage in this come August, we'd be more than willing to heed your concerns or your words on this. Please. Doesn't have to be now, just if you'd like to talk to me after this or thereafter. But we'd like to be able to keep you apprised.
You're talking about being specific then.
We're
an interest or a concern.
We're looking right now mostly on their program performance evaluations, their department efficiency evaluations, the internal controls they've developed and used, as well as any cost savings that they may be accounting for.
You know, I got to say one thing. When you go back and reflect over the last couple of years and the conflicts between the personality conflicts or business conflicts between the two countywide electeds, and then you go watch what goes on in Albany with the governors fighting with the controller, and my God, it's a blood sport up there. Maybe we're past that down here. Carl, for the good of the order, anything in particular?
I think it's stirring a bee's nest. I think it's stirring a bee's nest, but controller has to do his job.
And it was on our audit plan as of last year. We did not get to it, so it was rolled over to this year.
Well, let us know if you're not getting any cooperation. Definitely let the legislature know.
Rich?
No, I'm good.
Manager Joe?
I'm good.
Well, thanks. Thanks for a positive discussion tonight, and
yes.
We'll move forward with the other one way or another.
Right.
At the next meeting.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a million questions. Try to have them ahead of time so the debate doesn't break down into, geez, I'm not really sure. So motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, everyone.